Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, may I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Will you turn in your Bible with me this morning to Romans chapter 2. I appreciate you watching the broadcast, and I'm glad to hear from some of you, and I appreciate the letters, appreciate you calling and writing, and your comments. Today I want to talk to you about, and we've been talking about salvation, we've been talking about eternal salvation, and I want to talk to you today about prophecy as compared to mystery. And I want to try to show you that Peter's ministry was associated with prophecy. Paul's ministry associated with a mystery. In Romans chapter 2, notice, and we're going to have to start reading in verse 12. But the passage I want to use is verse 16. But in verse 12, he said, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile excusing or else excusing one another." And please observe that verse 13 through 15 is in parentheses. So I want to read from verse 12 again and go to verse 16 from verse 12. Verse 12, "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law," verse 16, "in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Now the whole thing that he's saying there to me is that those that believe the gospel of Christ committed to the Apostle Paul will leave the world. They will not be judged. Our judgment is past. Jesus Christ was judged for us according to Paul's writings. Our sins were placed upon Christ. Christ was made to be sin for us. Our sins were judged at Calvary. Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And all that believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior today will go out at the rapture. But those that will not believe that gospel today will be judged according to Paul's gospel. In other words, those that will not believe that Christ died for their sins, that is, totally and completely surrender to that truth, will be judged in a future day based upon the fact that they refuse to believe. Compare, please, 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians, notice in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the context has to do with the day of Christ and the coming of the Antichrist. Verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed." There is a time out there then when Antichrist is going to be revealed. Antichrist is going to appear, and he's going to be known as the Antichrist at some time. He's going to reveal himself. "That wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders," as in Revelation 13, "and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved." In other words, they're going to perish because they received not the love of the truth. The truth in the context is the gospel of Christ, as in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul refers to the Lord, in whom you also trusted, those Ephesians, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. So there are those that receive not that truth. They will not receive the love of that truth. And so they're going to be judged in that day. Now verse 11, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. The lie is the Antichrist. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, there is a judgment coming on this earth. And that judgment is going to be the result of people not believing in Christ as their Savior. Say that this right here is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. After Jesus Christ was crucified, he sent Peter forth with a ministry. And let's just say this represents the salvation of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. I'm going to come over to the other side and I'll say here represents the rapture of the church. The message of grace came down to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. And Paul went forth preaching that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again. And so this is called the dispensation of the gospel. And all of those that are saved by that gospel, all of those that believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again, will be saved from wrath according to Romans chapter 5 and 1 Thessalonians and other passages. So there is a day coming then when this corporate body, a body of believers, spiritual body of believers, incorporated by the gospel. They're incorporated by the cross. That is, all that are in this body here, that's called the church, the body of Christ, the fullness of him that filleth all in all in Ephesians chapter 1. All that are in that body are those that believe that Christ paid for their sins at Calvary. They believe that Jesus Christ was made to be sin for them, and that their sins were judged at Calvary, and that Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again. They believe that their judgment is past. That is, the judgment for their sins. And so, they will be raptured out. In other words, they will be caught out of this sinful world before God begins to judge Israel and this world. And so, at this period of time over here, and we'll call it the tribulation, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble in the Bible. And over here, the Lord will come again. The deliverer is going to roll out of Zion. He's going to turn away ungodliness from Jacob. There is a day coming in the future when the Lord is going to come again, and he's going to save Israel. And the Bible said, and all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. The deliverer shall roll out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's God's covenant unto them when he shall take away their sins. Now, all that believe that Christ died for their sins, all that trust him, trusting that all their sins was placed upon him and that he became their sin and that their sins were judged at Calvary, all that believe and stand in that doctrine are incorporated in this body, which is called the body of Christ. There is no need for them to experience judgment for their sins because their sins were judged at Calvary. So, they're going to be caught out when the Lord comes again for them. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord. Our vile bodies are going to be changed, made like unto his glorious body, and we will not be judged in this judgment over here. But those who will not receive the love of that truth, that they might be saved, those who will not claim this truth, what? That Jesus Christ paid for all their sins. That Jesus Christ was made sin for them. That all their sins are paid for. The wages of sin being death, Jesus Christ died. Therefore, if Jesus Christ died for your sins, then your sins are taken care of in his death. And your sins were judged at Calvary. He was found guilty of your sins. He died for your sins and was resurrected by Almighty God to show you that justification, where you're concerned, was taken care of. We that believe in Christ as our Savior here were justified in AD 33 by the death of Christ at Calvary. we will be caught out of this world. Therefore, there is no judgment in the future for our sins. Now, our works are going to be tried at the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, we will receive the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. But as Christians, as children of God, as the saved, Bible-believing people that we are. Now, back to Romans 2 again. In Romans chapter 2, verse 12, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law," verse 16, "in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." In other words, then, the standard of judgment at this time is going to be the law. And so all that refuse Christ as their Savior today are in effect saying, by the standards of the law, I will make myself acceptable to God. All of you that hear my voice right now, and you say, I believe in repenting of my sins, believing in Christ as my Savior, being baptized for remission of my sins, and keeping the commandments, enduring to the end, you are saying, in effect, I am ready for the law to judge me. Any of you that are listening to my voice, that are saying, I will be acceptable to God by keeping the commandments, are saying, in effect, I'm ready for the law to judge me. And that's exactly what's going to take place. When the rapture comes, you will not have received the love of the truth that you might be saved. You will not have embraced the gospel of Christ and trusted Christ as Paul presented him to you. You will not have done that. Because Paul said, salvation is by grace through faith without works. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 that if you go under the law, if you try to save yourself by the law, you are fallen from grace. Only those that are in the grace of God today are those that believe the gospel of Christ. If you do not believe the gospel of Christ in this age, that is, totally and explicitly and completely rely upon what Christ did at Calvary to pay for all your sins, then you're not in the grace of God. If you are attempting to save yourselves by being obedient to the Lord's commands today, you're not in the grace of God according to Galatians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 3. And according to Galatians 5, you're fallen from grace. People have twisted and warped Galatians 5 for years. They have taught people that an individual who claims Christ as his Savior and then commits sin falls from grace. That is untrue. That is false. An individual who claims Christ as his Lord and Savior, saying, I believe that Jesus paid for all my sins, and then turns to the law to gain by the law what Christ gained for him at Calvary, is fallen from grace. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, they believed in vain. I find it very clear in the Scripture that Jesus Christ died for sinners. Jesus Christ died for enemies. Jesus Christ died for ungodly people. Jesus Christ died for blasphemers. Could go on and on. Then those that really believe the gospel, those that are saved by grace through faith, at some time see themselves as sinners. And as such, they see themselves enemies of Almighty God. My sins are against God, they see. They see themselves as ungodly. They see themselves as blasphemers. And as a result of that conviction, they trust Christ, believing that He wiped the slate clean and that they're saved by grace through faith. Those who are trying to accomplish their salvation by keeping the law, by water baptism, by doing things today, are not in the grace of God. They have never surrendered to that truth that Christ died for their sins. If they did, they would quit working to gain what they would see was gained by the Lord at Calvary. So Paul said, those people are going to be judged by the law in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Those that will not believe the gospel will be left behind. They will be judged by the law, and they will receive the Antichrist, believing that He's the Christ. God will send them strong delusion. They will believe a lie, the Antichrist, and they will be damned. Why? Because they would not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Anyone hearing my voice can trust Christ as your Savior today. The opportunity is available unto you. The dispensation of grace tells me that we live in a time when God makes available to all men the opportunity to be saved. You can be saved right now if you'll trust Christ. Now I want you to compare something with me. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. In Romans 16, look at verse 25. Now to Him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which is kept secret since the world began. Now let's do the verse again. Verse 25. Now to Him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel. In other words, those people could not be established according to Peter's gospel. They had to endure to the end to be saved. They repented of their sins. They believed that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. They were identified with Him in water baptism, looking unto remission of sins at the second coming of Christ. But they had to endure to the end, and James said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. They were not established. They were not secured by that which they believed. But Paul said, to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the command of the everlasting God, made known to all nations. So I know then that Paul's gospel was a mystery, and Paul's gospel was associated with a mystery. But Peter's gospel is associated with prophecy. Now, this mystery where Paul is concerned, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 2, 6, he says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now read from verse 7 again. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. In other words, God in His wisdom offered His Son at Calvary. God in His wisdom delivered up His Son for us. And the fact that He did that was a mystery not known by the Old Testament prophets. They knew that Jesus Christ would be born. They knew that he would be the king. They knew that he would die. They knew that he would rise and come again and establish the kingdom. But they did not know why he was dying. They did not know that he died for your sins, and that isn't the half of it. They had no desire whatsoever that you have a privilege of salvation, and that's clear to the Bible believer who rightly divides the word. When Paul was at Jerusalem in Acts 22, as Paul preached to those Jews there, he said that I came back to Jerusalem and I was praying in the temple. And he said, the Lord appeared unto me. He's talking to those Jews in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language. He said, the Lord appeared unto me and said, get out of here. They're not going to receive your testimony concerning me. And Paul said, the Lord told him, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. He used a term that angered them. He is speaking in the Hebrew tongue in Acts 22. Read it. And he said, the Lord said, I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Turn there. Let's read the passage. In Acts chapter 22, notice in verse 20, he's given his testimony. Verse 19. I said, Lord, they know that I am in prison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he, that is the Lord, he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word. And then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It is not fit that he should live. They believed they had a right to do that. Why? Turn back in your Bible, please, to Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12, notice what the scripture said. They had the scriptures. They knew what the Bible said. And so when this man said, the Lord's going to send me to the Gentiles, that was too much for them. They couldn't tolerate that. In Genesis 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. They knew that God had promised that any nation that blessed Abraham's seed, God would bless. They knew the scripture said that God would curse any nation that cursed Abraham's seed, and yet here this man Paul is saying that God is going to send me to bless them that God said he's going to curse, and they said it's not right that this man should live. They believe this man was a false prophet. They believe that what he said was untrue. They believe it cannot be. What Paul was saying in Acts 22 verse 21 is a direct contradiction to the scriptures that they had at that time. It has to do with a mystery. Notice, in Ezekiel, well, there isn't any need. And in Ezekiel 38 and 39, all of you have heard these past few months of how the Battle of Armageddon is shaping up, and they use Ezekiel 38 and 39. The idea being that the Gentile nations of this world are going to go against Israel. The Gentile nations of this world are going to be against Israel. They're going to be against what they believe to be the seed of Abraham. Well, here is a man, Paul, telling those Israelites in Jerusalem at the time of Acts 22, he's telling them the Lord is going to send me to bless those that the Bible says he's going to curse. And they said, this can't be. They said, away with this man. They said, in fact, they ripped the clothes off. They threw dust in the air, and they said it isn't right that he should live. Paul is preaching a gospel that was a mystery that the Old Testament prophets didn't know anything about. Paul preached that all men can be saved. Paul preached that Jesus Christ died for men that the Old Testament scriptures promised that God would curse. People say, well, that's a contradiction. That is not a contradiction to those who understand rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we keep on harping about it. That's why we stay on this thing. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I stand here and I preach once a week, and I preach right division. I try to preach the gospel of the grace of God. I preach that Jesus Christ died for our sin. I preach that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and on and on. And what happens? There are those that are independent, fundamental Baptists, so-called Bible believers in Pensacola and around the country. And what do? They fight it tooth and toenail. They oppose that. Why? Because the mystery that Paul is involved in is not associated with the baptism of the prophetic scriptures. And people want to use the baptism to their own glory. They want to use the baptism to entrap people and put them under their thumb and put them under their command, evidently. Paul's ministry was associated with the mystery. Peter's ministry is associated with prophecy. So, back to 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And notice in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom that God ordained before the world under our glory. What is it? That Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. That God made him to be sin for us. The mystery. That God would have all men to be saved and come under the knowledge of truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Even you can be saved today. It doesn't make any difference who you are, what color you are, where you've been, or what you were doing while you're there. Jesus Christ died for your sins at Calvary. He paid for your sins, and God revealed that through the Apostle Paul. It has been a mystery. People are trying to keep it a mystery today. But I want to tell you right now, I've got good news for you. You can be saved by the grace of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you for listening. Until next time, good day.